This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could it get more complicated to buy a house for cash and cash alone? I'm David Brancaccio. First, financial regulators from both government and industry are asking questions about a $1.25 billion deal to bring to the stock market a social media company to rival Twitter. This is the Trump Media and Technology Group, the former president's. The plan is to use a popular way to get onto the stock market using a SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company. The Trump firm plans to merge with this SPAC. This streamlines the process of going public and often means less involvement by regulators, but there are special rules for these. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, David.
No sense here yet that there's wrongdoing, but interesting questions about this Trump media deal?
Yeah, there are interesting questions in two areas. One has to do with one of the special features of a SPAC, which is it's supposed to disclose at the time it goes public of anything that's material. One of the things a SPAC can't do is have material discussions with a target company, the company it's going to merge into. And the SEC, in this case, is looking into whether meetings between people connected to the SPAC and people connected to the Trump side of the announced merger actually had meetings and talked about things that should have been disclosed but weren't disclosed.
Now, it's not just the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's also FINRA. This is the self-regulatory part of the financial industry.
Yeah, FINRA is coming at it from another angle. They're interested in this burst of trading volume in the SPAC's warrants that occurred just prior to the announcement of the merger. They want to see if that burst of trading was just a coincidence. It was about 8 times the usual trading, or whether it was driven by something improper, say, for example, inside information about the merger.
Now, this involves the former president of the United States. There will be those who may see the dark hand of politics here in the announcement that they're going to ask further questions.
Yes, and that complicated things for the SEC, because the SEC doesn't want to appear to be politically motivated. So that may have actually caused the SEC to hesitate to take action, despite the political pressure being put on them by, for example, Senator Warren. But they must see something that has gotten them past that aversion, even though they, of course, don't know whether anything happened.
Now, these special purpose acquisition companies, the whole idea is they're kind of like, you give us your money, we'll decide later what we're going to invest in. It's not like we secretly know what we're going to invest in advance.
No, in fact, if they do secretly know that, you can't be a SPAC. You have to be a regular IPO. You have to disclose who your target is. And that turns out to be one of the things that the SEC is interested in learning more about in this case.
A lot of SEC attention to some of these SPACs recently, right?
Yeah. I mean, in addition to this one, they have subpoenaed information from Lucid Motors, the EV company that went public via SPAC in July. They charged the founder of Nikola Motors, another EV company that went public via SPAC, with allegedly misleading investors. They charged a SPAC that agreed to merge with the space exploration company Momentus with faulty due diligence. There's a lot of SEC activity around SPACs.
All right. Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business and a person who knows a lot about companies coming together and breaking apart. Dr. Gordon, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Trump's media strategy is a response to his getting banned from Twitter and other social media after his actions on the day of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Let's do the numbers. After the Dow went up 646 points, or 1.9% yesterday, stock index futures this morning are indicating another upwardly mobile start. Today, the Dow future is up 373 points, 1%. The NASDAQ future is up 1.9%, all this on the theory that the new coronavirus variant doesn't make people all that sick. Sometimes you buy a house because the seller demands all cash because they can. But sometimes people buy property with cash to launder the source of dirty money. Now, the Treasury Department is seeking public input on a plan to increase oversight of all cash real estate transactions that would expand on some temporary rules in about a dozen metro areas. Marketplace's Amy Scott has that.
When a shell company pays all cash for real estate worth more than $300,000, title companies must report the names of the people involved, but only in some markets like Miami, New York, and Seattle. Himamali Das is acting director of the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. He says right now, if a corrupt official buys a penthouse condo with stolen money,
he can often do so without any red flags being raised, especially if he's used a shell company and that purchase is done entirely with cash.
But will tougher national rules discourage all cash deals? Daryl Fairweather is chief economist at Redfin, which looked into it.
They do look like they've increased a little bit faster in places that don't have the rule in effect, but it's not a big enough difference to really know if the rule is decreasing cash activity.
With so many people selling homes in expensive markets like California and buying in more affordable ones like Texas, she expects the cash to keep flowing. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Crude oil is up 2.8% now, $71.46 a barrel. Like stocks today, that's a bet that Omicron isn't all that bad. Also talk of Russia sanctions. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.